Beloved, we are glad to have you join us for this sermon. We pray that it inspires you, draws you closer to the knowledge of God, and builds your faith. Be blessed as you listen.
Is broken. Hallelujah.
Let's give Jesus a big hand of praise. You can make it bigger and louder. Hallelujah. Let's make it bigger and louder, please, for Jesus. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Praise God. Hallelujah. Shall we lift up our hands and worship the Lord this morning? Father, we give you thanks and praise. Indeed, the curse is broken. We are free and free indeed. Somebody bless the name of Jesus. Give him glory. Give him praise. Thank God on behalf of what God is said to do. The curse is broken. The curse is broken. Jesus took your place so that we can enjoy life. Come on, thank God for the finished work of Christ. The curse of sickness, the curse of disease, the curse of death is broken. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have given thanks. In Psalm 119, Psalm 119, verse 130, it says, the entrance of thy word giveth light and gives understanding to who? The simple, not the complex. Not the complex, the simple. The more simpler you are for the world, the more the world transforms your life. The entrance of the word, not the hearing of the word, the entrance of the word gives light. And when light comes, darkness cannot stay. Somebody say amen to that. Every cause is in the realm of darkness. And every blessing is in the realm of light. So, darkness answers to light. And when the light comes, John 1:5, it said, the darkness cannot comprehend it. So, no matter the forces of darkness against us, when light comes, darkness must dissipate. Is somebody with me this morning? So I don't know the cloud of darkness that is around you this morning, but I want you to believe God for the entrance of his light, of his word, that shatters every darkness. Is somebody catching what I'm saying? But the word must enter. Lord, let your word enter me today. Let your word do what? Let it enter me today. Lord, I pray for the entrance of your word that shatters darkness. Lift up your voice, make a demand to the Lord. Lord, let your word enter me today. I don't just want to hear. I want the word to enter. Enter through my heart. Enter through my soul. Enter through my spirit. Going through my spine. Going through my destiny. Let the word enter my career. Let the word enter my family. The entrance of your word giveth light. My heart is open, Lord. I'm simple today. Lord, I'm a candidate for your touch this morning. Let every generational curse be lifted. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Father, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there are pleasures evermore. Before we came, your presence was already here. And we thank you. 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 For whosoever the Son of Man set free is free indeed. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Lord, I decree liberty for everyone. Liberty for every family. Liberty for every household. Liberty for every individual. In the name of Jesus. Thank you and thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai.
Glorify yourself, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Give you all the glory for everything that you do in this service today. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Somebody who believe God, say loud, amen. Please give Jesus a big hand of praise. Welcome your neighbor to the left and to the right. And take your seat in the presence of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You are welcome to the second Sunday in the month. In this second half of the year, again, it shall be the best for you. For those of us who were not here last week Sunday, we began a series captioned Gateway to Financial Fortune. And today will be part two. The theme of the month, again, to remind, is financial fortune is my heritage. Somebody will say that with me. You can say it louder, please. Financial fortune. Financial fortune is my heritage. What is financial fortune in our context? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 8. We're going to read 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, all the way to 8. If the media can put on the screen, say, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man, according as his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Verse 8, let's read together, church. One, two, go. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. That is what financial fortune is. Always having all sufficiency in all things. Always having all sufficiency in all things. Always having all sufficiency in all things. That is the Bible definition, in case you are not aware. Always having. That is why Paul said, the Lord shall supply all my needs. All, not some. Philippians 4:19. All my needs according to his riches in glory. Not the riches in the earth. The riches in glory. From all of these, it is clear that God has designed financial fortune for every one of his children and not otherwise. Fortune is our heritage. None of us shall be unfortunate. I say fortune is our heritage. None of us shall be unfortunate. Fortune is our heritage. None of us shall be unfortunate. Fortune is our heritage. None of us shall be unfortunate. Fortune is your heritage. You shall not be unfortunate. Fortune is your heritage. You shall not be unfortunate. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. Another anchor scripture. as we build on those foundations from last week. Again, Deuteronomy 8 and verse number 18. It reads, as they put in scripture, it said, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy father, as it is this day. So the foundation was laid, and we are building the blocks. Again, gateways to financial fortune. I want to begin this morning by saying, a passionate pursuit of God and the interest of his kingdom is key to a world of supernatural abundance. A passionate pursuit of God and the interest of his kingdom is key to the world of supernatural abundance. Job 36:11. If they obey and they serve him, they will spend their days in poverty. Talk to me, church. What will they spend their days in? And what will their year be like? Therefore, in the name of Jesus, none of us will suffer financial pressure again. I didn't hear your amen. I didn't hear your amen. Psalm 102 verse 13 and 14. Thou shall arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her. Yea, the set time is come. And why is it come? Verse 14. For thy servant take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. This therefore means that serving God and the interest of his kingdom with our resources is the gateway to a world of financial fortune. If you must enter through a city, you must go through the borders. True of us? No matter how you fly, you still need to go through border. If you don't have the visa, they send you back. True of us? It's the same way. The gateway to kingdom financial fortune is serving God and the interest of his kingdom. Kingdom financial fortune. That's what we are talking about. Please, not any other thing. We are talking about kingdom fortune, God's way of receiving blessings. Kingdom financial fortune. Psalm 34 and verse 10. The young lion do lack and they suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord, not they that seek the money, not they that seek the fortune. Can you see that? Prioritizing where your heart is will determine where God will place you on the earth. They that seek the Lord, not they that seek the things. And the Lord there is capital L-O-R-D to remind you so that you understand what the focus is. They that seek the Lord, they shall not want any good thing. So when a Christian is wanting, he may have missed it in seeking the Lord. Because the word cannot lie. You interpret that in Matthew 6:33, they are saying the same thing. Seek ye first, not second, not as a back burner. Seek ye first, not yourself, not your ambition, not your vision. Seek ye first, understanding the rule of the first. In biblical time, that's what we call that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, meaning the right way of doing things. That's what righteousness means. Right way of doing things. The right things. So you are not seeking because you want prosperity. You are causing a pain to your neighbor. That cannot be righteousness. Does that make sense? You can't say because you are seeking a salary, you are guilting and stealing from your boss. That cannot be righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his right way of doing things. He said, all other things, including financial fortune, healing, breakthrough, name it, shall be added. So in the kingdom of God, financial fortune is not what we seek. Is what God had. Are you with me? Because God gives you the power to get it. If you hear, say I hear. Therefore, may your understanding blossom. Please don't argue with God. He's the God of the universe. He was here before you came. He's the Ancient of Days. You can't know better than him. Hallelujah. You can't know better than him. This therefore means that God will only entrust true riches in the hand of those he can trust. We said this last week. We are saying it again. God will only entrust true riches into the hands of those he can trust. Trust. If he cannot trust you, he cannot entrust it to you. He giveth power to get. So he will not give you the power to get. If he cannot trust you, may the Lord trust you. Trust you to do what? Trust you to use the same wealth he has given you to promote and advance the kingdom first. Not your ambition first. Luke 16, 11 and 12. He said, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If you have not been faithful, he will have to find you faithful first before he can entrust into your hand greater things. No matter how you pray and fast, God will still have to test you. Verse 12. He said, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another's man, who will give you your own? You see the reason some have not gotten their own? You see the reason why some have not gotten their own? Because whatever you do to your brother, are you getting me now? Is a test you are writing if God will deliver your own to you. Somebody say, I hear. Say with me, I receive grace. What then is the covenant? Like we said last week, a covenant is a deal between God and man that is sealed with an oath. Is a condition between God and man where God is the covenantor and we are the covenantee. Is the covenant. The covenant of God is the bailout platform for every harsh economy. Every harsh economy. Now listen to me. Covenant people will never go down, no matter the economy. Covenant people will never go down because their economy is not in man. Their economy is what? Is in God. Somebody say, I hear. Somebody say, I hear. He said, you shall remember the Lord your God, Deuteronomy 8:18, that he will give you power to get wealth so that he can establish his covenant. His covenant. What is the covenant? Genesis 8:22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Seed time and harvest time. Cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Remember the scripture I read in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to 9. It said, but this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap. So the covenant is sowing and what? Reaping. Is what? Sowing and what? Reaping. Is what? Sowing and what? Reaping. Whatever you are not sowing, you are not permitted to reap. No matter how you pray. You sow bountifully. He said you shall reap bountifully. Can you see that? And this covenant, he said, as I command you this day. So it's still in force today. We are not talking about Old Testament stuff. We are talking about kingdom stuff forever. In Psalm 89:34, he said, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the words that have gone out of my mouth. Somebody say, I hear. In Jeremiah 33, verse 20 to 22, the Bible confirms to us there. He said, if you can break the covenant of the day, that there be no night, and there be no day, and there be no night in their season. He says, so then, let the covenant that I have with David my servant be broken. If you can't break the covenant of day and night, it's simply telling you that every day you wake up and every day you go to sleep is a sign that my covenant is still in force. Somebody say, I hear. May the grace of God be released. In Hebrews 6:13-18, he said, for when God made his promise to Abraham, because he could not swear with the greater, he swore by himself. Saying 14, in blessing I will bless you, in multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he has patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Somebody say, Lord, give me grace. Because listen, you cannot put a seed in the ground and take out the seed out. What will happen to your harvest? No harvest. So there's what we call seed time. The seed need time. In where? On the ground. Before you get to what? Harvest time. So those who are in haste cannot make it in the kingdom. Those who are in haste, the Bible says, he that believeth, if you believe in the terms of his word, you will not be in haste. They have patiently endured. Patiently endured. Hallelujah. Lord, give us the grace to be patient. Lord, give us the grace to be patient. You just planted yesterday, and today you expect your harvest. Physical. Does that work like that? Does that work like that? That's why some people are disappointed. That's why some people have stopped the practice of the covenant. You just gave last week Sunday, and you expect that today there should be harvest. Why we don't see as man see, and we don't know as man. If God wants your harvest to be today, it will be today. But you need patience. He makes all things beautiful in his what? In his time. His time. It's called time. So it's a continuous practice. You're not giving up on it because the covenant remains in force. Psalm 33, verse 18 and verse 19. And this will be a blessing. Once you understand this truth, people of God, no matter what is going on in your world, you are not patterned. He said, behold, the eyes of the Lord is with them that fear him, and upon those that hope in his mercy, I'm walking with them. I will deliver their soul from what? And keep them alive in what? So no matter the economic crunch, your case is always different. Not for everybody. The eyes of the Lord is with those that fear him. With those that fear him. With those that fear him. How do you fear him? You fear him by obeying him. You fear him by following his dictates. You fear him by doing his will. Psalm 112, verse 1. He said, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Come on now. Can you see the word there? Somebody say bless. Louder, you say bless. And what does the blessing do? He makes people rich and does not have sorrow. So don't tell me you are poor because you are holy. No. It's not possible. God is the holiest God and is also the wealthiest God. You are poor because you are not holy. You are missing something somewhere. Who tell you that poverty makes you holy? No. He is the holier thou God. Holy are you, Lord. Angels look at him and say, holy, holy, holy. And yet, he said, the silver and the gold is mine. This is your little, little change that you have. Because you are not a manager, no one can talk to you. That's why you have put a limit to the next place. Because now you are not a business person. No time for church. No time for God. And you think God is not watching? You are going through a test, but you are failing the test. Christian people can be great, sir. I'm telling you the truth. But the reason why we are not seeing it as much as we can is because a lot of people, their lifting has become their trouble. Their lifting. May you not be lifted beyond what you can bear. Please say amen to that too. Because listen to me, the position you will get that will take you away from God, may you not get it. May you not get it. What is the point of being a president and you still go to hell? You may as well be a what? A citizen and go to heaven, true of us. That's what we are talking about. Why does God bless us? Few things to note here. Please note, the anchor purpose of wealth in the kingdom is to advance the kingdom of God. God blesses us primarily so that we can be a blessing. We can be a blessing first to the kingdom and to the world around us. First to the kingdom. I have read the scripture to you. Seek ye what? First the kingdom. Somebody say the kingdom. The reason God bless you, Genesis 12, verse 2 and verse 3, he said, I will bless you, and you shall be a blessing. Say with me, I'm a blessing. Louder you can say, I'm a blessing. The loudest you can say, I'm a blessing. God blesses you so that you can be a blessing. Not that so that you can hoard. And thou shalt be a blessing. First, to the kingdom of God. Look at the story of this man. It's in the Bible. Luke chapter 12. Let me try and see if I can read it. From verse 15 all the way to 21. We'll try and paraphrase. And he said to them, take it and beware of covetousness. For a man's life does not consist of the abundance of what? Listen, God is not excited with accumulations. That's not what excites God. What excites God the most is contributions. Tell your neighbor, contribution. Talk to your neighbor, say contribution. Ask your neighbor, what are you contributing to the kingdom of God and to the earth at large? A man's life It's not in the accumulation of the everything. I have this, I have that. Those are your cup of teas. Nobody remember you for what you have. People only remember you for what you had. People only remember you for what you had. Nobody remember you for your income. People only remember you for your input. All your income is your cup of tea. You are not imputing anything. The world will never remember you. In fact, the day you die, they forget you. They even call you wicked rich man. I don't know people you are praying for to die. Just because you have power, everybody's under pressure. Somebody say, I hear. Now look at this man so that you see where you and me stand. Verse number 16. He spoke a parable saying, the ground of a certain rich man became very fruitful and plentiful. Can you see that? Like many of us, he has blessed us. Something began to move. Life began to work. Business is making it. Great. You think God is not happy with that? God is happy with that. But this is the problem. Look at verse next. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Ah, money is now coming. I'm promoted. What shall I do? I have no room where to bestow my fruit. Please carry on. High. Be taking note of the word high, high, high. And he said, this high we pull down and build greater. And they high, we bestow all my fruits and my goods. He's not even talking about family. He didn't say children. He didn't say community. He didn't even talk about his church or the poor around him. High. High. Listen, help me ask your neighbor, how many things can you eat? How many? It's still one stomach you have. Two of us. And in case you say, I have eaten good food, I'm not going to the toilet, you will die. You know, those days when we used to be young, when our mother gives us very good food, we make sure we don't go to the toilet. So when we have eaten the food, I don't know for some reason, I used to believe when we're young that when you drink water, the water pushes the food down. So when we have eaten good food and they say, have water, I said, no, mom, no, mommy. And there are people like that. Look at this man. Just be seen. Hi. Please, this is a picture of what the church looks like today. I'm telling you the truth. And you need to learn these lessons. Anything God is doing for you is not primarily for you first. I will bestow. Go to verse 19. See again. Look again. Verse 19. I will say to my soul, you have much good. Hey, laid up many years. Take your time, man. Easy, man. Ah, we won't keep. Are we the one that killed Jesus? I will have holiday. Every month, I will go on holiday. I'll be in Bahamas January, from Bahamas. I will go to South Africa. I'll just go and see the safari. When I come back from the safari, where will I go? I think I'll go to Maldives. Yeah, Maldives. After I finish that, I need to go to Dubai. You know, I've not done some cruise. You know, this cruise, I've not gone there again. I need to try that one. I. Take his, eat, drink, and be merry. Just looking at himself. Verse 20. Let's move further. But God said to him, you are a fool. So please, I didn't say that. Who said it? Look at your neighbor and say, you are a fool. Don't say it too, so that they won't slap you. Say, Pastor, they slapped me. Why did you tell them you are a fool? God said, you are a fool. It means you don't know the reason I'm blessing you. You have missed the purpose. When purpose is not known, abuse
is inevitable. A lot of people are abusing it. And that is why the channel has stopped. I was saying it some weeks here. I said, if you're that kind of person where at a point you used to have a lot of flow of blessing, financial blessing, and now you don't have it again, you have missed it somewhere. And maybe perhaps here. You are a fool. Let's read it, continue. He told him, you are a fool. He said, today, your soul shall be required of you. Then, whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? I will take you and what you have. Other people will now begin to do well with it. Look at verse 21. What he said. So his, he that lay up treasures. For who? Hando, Kenosia. A good man leave inheritance for his children, not himself. Himself. Do you know there are some men, they are so wicked, not even their wife. Not even the children. Himself! I, selfish, self. And is not rich towards who? So listen to me, the first channel of your richness is first to God before people. Let's prioritize it. God first. If God is not feeling why he blessed you, God will stop it. God will stop it, sir. Because he's trusting it on you. But if you fail the trust test, he will look for somebody else. Somebody say, God forbid. So why does God bless? God will not bless anyone in this kingdom beyond his or her commitments to promote the kingdom of God on the earth. How committed are you? Haggai chapter 1, verse 4, all the way to 11. He said, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. You are building your house, and yet my house is in ruin. Get down to verse 6. You are building my house, and yet my house is in ruin. Now you sow much, and you bring little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, you are not satisfied with your drink. You clothe yourself, you are not feeling the warmness. So you have, but you are empty. Some people wonder, why is it that celebrities, they are the most depressed people? Is because of this. Most of the time. Once you take the God factor in your success story, you are no longer a success. You are a failure. So listen, don't celebrate sinners. Because heaven does not celebrate them. Don't, you can be hiring them and be hiring their cars and all of that. Inside their Bugatti, they will ride it and go to hell. That's why the Bible says, envy not the sinner. Don't envy them. In the kingdom of God, no sinner has a rating. In the kingdom of God, no rating. Consider your ways, he said. Consider your ways. Grace for us to consider our ways is being released. What did he say? I want to read that very quickly, please. Let me finish on that. Please, if you can put that verse next, 7. He said, now thus saith the Lord, check the way you are living your life. Verse 8. He said, now go up to the mountain and bring wood and build what? And build what? And I will do what? Take pleasure in it. And I will what? Glorify. Saith the Lord. And I like the next verse. Carry on. He said, you will look for much and lo, it will come to little. You brought home, I blew on it. Why? The Lord is saying, because my house, the priority is me first. You have forgotten me, you have forgotten my house, and every man is going to treat his family. God is not against you doing things for people, but you must put priority right first. The priority is God first, and every other thing come next.
Somebody say, I hear. I hope you are glad you came to church. Are we making sense this morning? Somebody say, I receive grace. What else? God will not bless you beyond your commitment to be a blessing to the needy. So you are blessed to take care of the needy around you. Proverbs 28:27. He that giveth to the poor, he shall not lack. You will never lack. But he that hideth his face shall have many a cause. I heard of a man who was very wealthy, and people would come to him for help in real life. And before he helped people those days, many, many years ago, those days, he would take the money and he would wrap it in one of his dogs. And he would say, if you can catch this dog, then collect the money. Sometimes the dog will bite the people before they can get the money. What do you think will end in that man's life? People will collect the money, but in their blood, they will curse him. You help me this way. Thank you, but God will show you. Is this the way to help people? Listen to me. You can't help people in the detriment of their tears. If you don't want to help, leave it. God understand. But you can't help people and be putting them in shame. Are you catching that now? You can't help people and be taking from them. If you want to help, please help. Please, I'm not calling any name. If you want to help the poor, help. He that considereth the poor, when you give to the poor, he said, you will not lack. But if you throw your eyes away, there are curses that are coming. Can you see why some people are cursed? It may just be a forefather that was seeing the poor and was behaving wrong. And somebody now said, because you did this for us, your children too. And a spell is released. My child was sick, and you have the money to take care of it, and you could not. God will punish you. Some people have said things like that. And then suddenly, sickness will now visit the rich man. And they will say, where is this sickness coming from? No trace. A lot of people have gone into all kinds of trouble. Watch. Proverbs 19:17. He that have pity on the poor, lendeth to God. And that which he has given will be paid him back. In other words, whatever you do to the poor around you will always come back to you. Somebody say, I hear. That was the story of Job. In Job 29, verse 4 to 17, we don't have all the time. If you start reading from verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, the Bible says Job said it was eyes to those that were blind. Please check verse 6, verse 8, and verse I was eyes to them that are blind. Those who were motherless, I was their mother. Those who were fatherless, I was their father. Job was a man that took care of the poor around him. And God kept blessing him. Proverbs 11:24-25. Proverbs 11:24-25. He said, there is he that scattereth. But yet, what does he do? Increase. And there is he that withhold more than he should, but yet what? He goes to poverty. Verse next, the liberal soul shall be made fat. And then he that watereth shall be what? Somebody say, I receive grace. Finally, Hebrews 13:16. He said, do good. And to communicate, forget not. For such sacrifice, God is pleased. Such sacrifice. Can you look at your neighbor and say, just be good?
God will be pleased with you.
Hallelujah. God will not bless anyone beyond his or our commitment to giving towards the well-being of mankind. 1 Timothy 6:17 to 19. Charge them that are rich among you, that be not high-minded or trust in their riches. Both they should trust in God, who gives us richly to enjoy. So listen to me, people of God. God is not against your enjoyment. He's there. But you must now ensure that you prioritize it. When it becomes only you in all of it, then there is trouble. So how do I say? If God has blessed me, God will enjoy from it. My family will enjoy from it. My community will enjoy from it. All around me will enjoy from it. Are you seeing that now? Everyone connected to me will do what? Enjoy. It's not a personal thing. It's a generational thing. Somebody say, I receive grace. You will never know financial limitations. But our giving must be done with discretion. Somebody say, discretion. Somebody say, discretion. According to covenant priorities. So when you are distributing, please be discreet about it. And for what you have learned today, Psalm 112, verse 5, it said, a good man showeth favor. He lended. He will guide his affairs with what? Discretion. What is the discretion? Prioritizing. Proverbs 3:9-10. Honor the Lord with your substance. And what? The Lord first. That's what we are saying. Not you first. In my little life, I'm not saying you should copy me. This is one of the things that rule my life. So this is how I tell myself. Anything I've not single-handedly given God, I can't give myself because I don't want to die before my time. There is nothing you see in my life today, whether I wear, I drive, I live, anything, whatever is that worth, please, I'm not blowing my horns. At a point in my life, I have given it. I will never drive a car of any worth that I have not given to God once before. That's the way I live my life. Because I don't want to die before my time. Lord, I will not be a God to myself. Before I give myself, before I ever had my first house, I have built a house for God. Me and my family. We have to first build God's house. Before I am having my own house. As in building. From scratch. That's the way I live my own personal life. I leave you to go and do your own scenario. Because I'm not going to take the place of God. If I can't give God this money, I won't give myself first. I'll first give it to God, or give it to his kingdom, and then I can now say I've given God. So I can give myself. God always comes first. May the Lord grant us wisdom. May everyone be delivered from the forces of selfishness. And may we receive grace for selflessness. In Jesus' mighty name. Remember, kingdom requirement priorities. Number one, tithing. We touched on that last week. Leviticus 27:30. All of the tithes are the Lord's. That is why in Malachi 3:6-8, it says, you have robbed me. Because God owns it. So when you are not giving it to God, you have robbed him. May we not rob God. In Jesus' mighty name. He said, therefore you are cursed with a curse. You see that in verse 10 and also verse 11. You are cursed with a curse. Bring in now all the tithe to my storehouse. If I will not open what? The windows of heaven and pour you out what? A blessing. Somebody say blessing. And what does the blessing do? It makes us rich and does not add sorrow. So tithing first.
then kingdom advancement given or sacrifices, like we have seen in scripture. Giving to the poor. They are all part of it. May we receive grace in Jesus' mighty name. Remember that Abraham was a tither. Genesis 14, 19 and 20. So if we want the blessings of Abraham, we also must be one. Abraham gave the tithe of all. John 8, 39. If you are Abraham's seed, do the works of Abraham. Isaac, the son of Abraham, was also a tither. Genesis 28, verse 22. Isaac said, I will pay the tenth of all. And in Galatians 4, 28, he said, we brethren, as Isaac was, if we want the blessings of Isaac, we must do the works that Isaac did. Somebody say, I receive grace. Every financial generational plague shall be broken. Yeah. I didn't hear your amen. Yeah. I said, I didn't hear your amen. Yeah. I didn't hear your amen. Yeah. Every financial generational plague shall be broken. Yeah. Every financial generational plague shall be broken. Yeah. And every other plague that anybody may be, in the name of Jesus, they shall be broken. Whether they came as self-inflicted or they came because somebody cast a spell, I have good news for you. I say, I have good news for you. I say, I have good news for you. In Numbers 23 and verse 23, he said, there is no enchantment against Jacob and no divination. No divination against Israel. Is that according to this time it shall be said of Jacob of Israel, what has the Lord wrath? No enchantment. So anything that is working negative to your destiny, I decree in the name of Jesus, they are finally over. I said they are finally over. They are finally over. They are finally over. They are finally over. Few keys to break generational curse. One, salvation. In Acts chapter 3, verse 26, he says, unto you first, Jesus was raised and was sent to bless us. And blessings are the cure to curses. So once we receive Christ, we have received the blessing that cancels out what? The curses. In Galatians 3, verse 13 and 14, he said, Christ has redeemed us from what? The curses of the law. So you want to break curses, you need to receive Christ. Because the master that breaks all curses is Jesus Christ. Number two is the force of faith. Somebody say the force of faith. Louder, you can say the force of faith. Ephesians 6:16, taking the shield of faith, he said you will quench every fiery darts of the wicked. That means if there is anything that is working contrary against your destiny, the shield of faith can break it. Somebody say, I hear. Somebody say, I hear. Number three is kingdom service. Exodus 23, 25 to 26. You shall serve the Lord your God. He shall bless your water and your bread. Can you see that blessing? Every time blessing comes, curses are lifted. I pity people who are not serving, who are passive in church, who are God's uncles and God's auntie, who don't want to hear anything anybody say. They just want to come and go. You are not smart. The smartest thing is bring your head under blessing. Serving God brings us under blessing. For instance, when Obed-Edom gave his house for God, blessing came to his house. 2 Samuel 6 and 11. Obed-Edom gave his house. Like those of us who have given our house for WSF, blessing came. And when blessing comes, curses have to go. So you can be smart and bring blessing to your house. In Acts 2 verse 46 to 47, the same thing. They opened their houses for the Lord. And the Bible told us in verse 47 that favor was coming upon them.
The curses was lifted. Thank you, Jesus. Number next, engage the weapons of the kingdom. Number one, engage the blood. Somebody say the blood. The blood of Jesus is God's weapon against all satanic force, like what we are going to be using today. The blood. The blood. In Zechariah 9, verse 11 to 12, he said, "For thee also I have set the prisoner out of the pit where there is no water. I have set the prisoner out of no water by the blood of the covenant." As we partake of the blood today, everyone in the pit, you are coming out. I say you are coming out. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, I like that scripture, and then we'll begin to pray. It said, blotting out every handwriting of the devil that was against us. Causes are against us. The blood blotted it out. I'm too glad to know that when Jesus died and shed his blood, every negative thing that is speaking against your life and your family, Jesus blotted it out. Somebody shout a big hallelujah. I said, somebody shout a big hallelujah. I said, somebody shout a big hallelujah. So as we partake of the blood through the communion, expect that any negative thing that is contrary against your destiny, they shall be written off. If I have a believer in the house, a louder amen. Amen. Revelation 12 and verse 11, and we pray. He said, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the words of what? Their testimony. We overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Every curse that is contrary against my life, I overcome you today by the blood. Somebody say, believe in amen. Amen. From this service tonight, the curses shall be lifted. Amen. Misfortune shall be lifted. A new destiny shall be born in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, I receive grace to be a doer of his word. Rise up on your feet. Celebrate the Lord. Give Jesus a big hand of praise. Lift up your hands and lift up your voice and let's thank God. Father, thank you for the simplicity of your word. I understand it. I know what I'm meant to be doing, and I receive grace to be doer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And thank you, Father. And thank you, Father. And thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. The weapon we are using today is the communion. And inside that communion is the blood. But before we do that, I want to give opportunity to anyone who wants to receive Christ. He said he first sent Christ to bless us. So please, wherever you are, under the sound of my voice, you have not surrendered to the Lordship of Christ, give me the privilege to pray for you. Your life will never remain the same again. That's where to begin with. Just as I am with one was play. Jesus, this is me. I'm not perfect, but I want a new, clean relationship with you. You came to take away the curses. You redeem us from curses. So if I can receive Christ, I can be redeemed. If I reject Christ, I have rejected my redemption. Please let me pray for you. Anywhere you are, not too far. You are very close. I want you to lift up your hands and take a bold step and come and meet me in the altar. We'll pray for you. We want to take the communion, but we'll pray for you first because you are priority today. You want to surrender or you want to rededicate your life. You want to say, Lord, I want to return to you. Please, wherever you are, come and God bless you as you do. In Jesus' mighty name. Anyone, church, let's clap hands for Jesus. And encourage anyone that wants to come in Jesus' name. And encourage anyone that wants to come. We are waiting for you, please. We are waiting for you. We are waiting for you. We are waiting for you. That young man, young woman, we are waiting for you. Pastor, pray with me. I want to reconnect. I want to surrender. I want to give my life to Christ. Lord, I come. 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 One few more moments, wherever you are, so that we give you the opportunity, please. Don't postpone your salvation. If you are not saved, you are not saved. You need to be saved with Christ so that your life can be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Just celebrate the Lord with a clap offering. Lord, as I partake of this communion, according to Colossians 2 and 14, they will put that on the screen. That's what you are going to use to pray. Blot out every handwriting of the devil that is speaking against my life and destiny. Let every curse by your blood be averted. The blood keeps speaking mercy. Let your blood speak mercy for me and my family. Is somebody catching what I'm saying? Please lift up your voice and pray your prayer. We're about to minister. Pray your prayer. And as I take this communion, Jesus, let the blood cleanse, wash every generational sickness, generational disease, generational poverty, generational plague or curse in my life by the blood. Lord, blot it out. Anything speaking against my destiny, Lord, mercy. Lord, mercy. Lord, mercy. By your blood, 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 mercy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please fasten up your eyes here. Father, we design your body and your blood. That as we take this communion, the blood speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Therefore, every negative statement, negative ordinances against anyone in this service, by the blood, they are blotted out. 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 This communion becomes your communion of total liberty. Total liberty. And total liberty. Generational curse, they are lifted. Generational sickness lifted. Generational poverty lifted. Everything that is generational, they are lifted by the power in this communion table. So shall it be. Lord, confirm your word and glorify your name, Jesus. Please take your seat wherever you are. They will lead you to where you will go and take your communion. So you quickly march there, you take your communion. And choir will sing his praise. Thank you for fighting my battles for me.
Thank you for fighting my battles for me. Jehovah, great warrior.
Thank you for fighting my battles for me.
Please, once they lead you, go towards where your communion is. Take your communion. And then you stand on your feet. Once you have taken communion, you stand on your feet. So we know those who have been served. God bless you. God bless you as you do so.
Thank you for not leaving me to the wishes of my enemies.
Thank you for fighting my battles for me. Jehovah, great warrior.
Thank you for fighting my battles for me. Jehovah,
Tapa. In faith, we have prayed over it. The siege is finally over. The siege is finally over. Believe it, take the communion in faith, and declare upon yourself and your family what you are believing God for. Lord, this communion is my toast for healing, for deliverance. Everything negative in my life is taken off by the power in the blood.
A big hand if you have the victory. Very shortly, we are going to be releasing prophetic blessing upon everyone as we get ready to shut down. But before then, let's pray for all our first timers first. We release blessing. Two people came to church today and testified that pastor said something to the service last week. He said congratulations. And on Friday, he had the congratulations. Some other person said they said that. And I have what? Everything that is proclaimed over you today will find expression this week. So please get ready to receive the blessing, because the blessing is the cure to the causes. Hallelujah.
We believe you were blessed by this sermon. For more messages like this, you can join us at Winners Chapel International, Birmingham. Call us on 0121-622-1662 or email us at info.birmingham@winners-chapel.org. Don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms. God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again next time. Jesus is Lord.